Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. Matt, it's our annual event of the last show of the year is usually you and me. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here. Happy New Year, or soon to be New Year.
I've got a lot to talk about, and we'll kind of look back and look ahead. I guess the big issue looking ahead is something that you have talked about a lot. It's just paying for things, and there are a lot of things coming up now for the city.
There are a whole litany of things that are coming forward in the city. We're looking at the schools. We're looking at a fire station. We're looking at meeting our Chesapeake Bay requirements. We're looking at wastewater. We're looking at basic public safety needs beyond just the fire station, additional personnel necessary for that and such. And a school is not just a new school. It's the potential of operating a third elementary school. It's the potential of setting up a workforce development program within the system in some form or fashion, which I think, to me, is probably the most critically important piece for education in the city. And, you continually ask the question, okay, how are we going to pay for these things? And the interesting thing about this is we're going into a year where we have significant projects related to the schools, wastewater, and Chesapeake Bay, where we really don't have our hands on what the actual numbers are going to be yet. I mean, we've got a pretty good idea, so the three biggest projects we don't know, and the council is yet to sit down and discuss how are we going to pay for all this. And we're going into a meeting in January. We're going to have a special meeting with the school board to sign off on the interim agreement. Yet in the last 8 months, from the point when this was first announced in the newspaper, not to council, we've never received an official briefing on the capacity committee or anything else like that. Read in the newspaper to now, other than two-on-two meetings, and the only public meetings we've had are items I put on the agenda. And the questions keep being asked, and we've not discussed it as a council. And we are ready to move forward on a big project, and we don't have a lot of answers.
So you're going to get together with the school board then in January to sign off on this, whatever
it'll
the
be
plan is.
Right now we have a special meeting planned the same week after our council meeting to have a joint public hearing, a potential vote on the interim agreement. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, we have not even had any real discussions within the council.
Yeah.
On what should be priorities. We keep saying, we had one public meeting in October when I brought it up on the agenda. And I said, listen, right now you're all telling me you want to do all these things. This is what the potential cost is. Is this what we're going to do? Because we need to explain to the public what this means to them. And it's the frustrating part is not, and I'll debate, and I love debating. I love arguing. It hones your thinking. Mm-hmm. You come up with different ideas and concepts you haven't thought of. It's a great process. But when you're just basically talking to yourself and not getting any feedback other than, oh, we've talked about this before. No. Last time we had a public, really truly public meeting was prior to COVID. I mean, we're talking years ago.
Wow.
And nothing since then. And, oh, no, we got to do this. And this is why we're going to do this. Well, we need more capacity. Well, there's, as we've talked about on the show before, there are a lot of other issues in our city schools. And I don't want to pinpoint us. I mean, this is a national issue, too, with education that bricks and mortar don't deal with. And, I did a recent tour of the schools. Ms. Catlett was very kind to offer me a tour of the schools, which I took her up on and spent the day going to all four schools and talking to teachers and everybody else. And you're looking at a school system, that is dealing with a population almost 25% or so of English as a second language, the economics in our school system, teacher shortages, a nationwide, and then specifically shortages in foreign language, mathematics, shortages in counselors, you know, programs that are actually helping students at JM to graduate, because we have a graduation issue, a dropout issue, which I think is a great program, JM Pride, which should really be expanded. And these are things that bricks and mortar don't deal with.
Yeah.
So you can build a building, but the problems remain, and we're not having a conversation about, you know, what those problems are. And the council also, and I agree with this, that one thing that we lack is a good workforce development program. Not everybody gets to go to college, but when you graduate high school, you should have the option to go to college if you so desire, or have enough skills when you leave high school that you can get a good paying job and become a productive member of the community. And I think we're really lacking there, and that's something we really need to focus on. Yet we really haven't fleshed that out and what the costs are associated with that. When the school board came up with the middle school concept, which kind of came a little bit out, one of the council members basically alluded to, came out of left field. I did not say that. And then said, by the way, we're also going to operate a third elementary school. You know, now you're talking about operating, finding a whole new set of teachers, a new administration, and we haven't even talked about what the costs are associated with that. So nothing has been done to put numbers or concepts together on how this is going to work, yet we're continuing to go down this road of, now we're going to get the interim agreement, we're going to get the 35% plan or 30% plans, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. It's like, what? This is not what happened when we built the first two schools.
And you were part of that. I mean, I can remember, especially with JM.
We were very, very, the first time around it was, Fredericksburg, this is what it's going to cost you to do this. And Fredericksburg at the time said, yeah, we're willing to do that. And that's all I want. I just want that conversation so the public understands in Fredericksburg, to do these things is going to cost this.
Yeah.
If you're willing to do it, we move. If you've got concerns about it, and again, the concerns I have moving into this is, you know, we have a large population on fixed income. We have the lowest median income in the region. And these are facts, and we don't have the tax base that our neighbors have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything huge coming on the horizon from an economic development standpoint that I'm aware of or have been made aware of. And so you look at all these things and you go, I mean, we really need to take a closer look at this. And do we need to deal with the capacity issue? No question. But if you remember back when, and now we've redone the numbers again for a second time, you know, we still show that little trough, that area where our students, the recent Freelancer article, across the board, everybody in the region are down about 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's COVID-related, obviously. That's going to change. But even before COVID, you know, there was going to be this trough in there between now and basically 2027, 2028 timeframe. So it's kind of like we had this opportunity, because the kicker here is we don't see a significant drop in our debt service until 2031. So how much, everything we're doing now is we're just stacking on the list.
Yeah.
And that's the other problem. If you remember the last council meeting we had or the council meeting before, I'm kind of going, we need to talk about this. And I was told, well, we'll deal with it in the budget. Well, we're dealing with the budget in March. We're making decisions in January.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect here. And oh, by the way, one of the problems we have had, and this has been a consistent issue with me since I've been on this council, is we need to look out and explain to the public what we're doing in the next 5 years. Oh, we have a CIP. Well, that CIP constantly changes. And the numbers on the CIP are basically swags for the most part. And so we've never really had a good conversation. And what's happened is, because we've reached the budget, oh, we don't want to raise taxes this year, so we put things off. And the things we put off are critically important. It's the basic, you know, trucks and equipment and things of that nature. We have a public safety workforce and police and fire that we've really not done any significant expansion in decades. You know, I've been here talking about building a new fire station, which we need for over a decade.
Yeah.
And I kept told, oh, we're going to build a fire station. You know, I'm almost willing to say right now that my guess is when this comes down and we sit down and come into this budget cycle, there's going to be a reason to move that fire station down the road. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that my fire station is going to get shifted or something significant is going to get, because we can't shift anything else.
tough times. We got much more to talk about. Mac, City Councilman Mac Kelly here this morning as we start off, and we're talking about just paying for things. We'll continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
City Councilman Matt Kelly in this morning. Matt, as we were talking in this last segment, as you kind of laid out just the schools, I thought if this were just the schools we were talking about, you'd be talking about some serious things. But the fact that you laid it all out with it, with wastewater and so forth, and fire and rescue and other things, boy, there are some key decisions that are coming fast and furious at City Council.
And they're decisions that we can't put off any longer.
Right.
And that's been the problem with the budget process. You know, you get to the budget process and go, well, we need to do all this. Well, we can't do all this. We don't want to raise taxes, so we're not going to do it. And we've created this backlog that we can't put off anymore. I mean, you know, frankly, last council meeting, we made another mid-course correction and giving the additional funds to staff, which was well-deserved. I mean, we have a staff and, you know, public safety, public works, and everybody else that are working their tails off right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, it's public safety. It's, you know, it's also an issue of trying to keep up with the Joneses, as it were, staff in Spotsylvania. And as I said, that's going to continue. You know, staff in Spotsylvania, and especially with public safety. And when you look at the fact that the last report we have, we need another additional 5 to 9 officers at some point within the next 5 years. And I know the city manager takes issue with every time I say this, we need additional fire equipment. You know, for a fire truck, you need additional 16 personnel to run it 24/7. We need to finish our commitment to the EMS 24/7, which, yes, we're running 24/7 ALS, advanced life support, but you need people to fill in. And, you know, so you don't burn them out. And right now we're burning everybody out. Hmm. I mean, they're on longer shifts than police and fire. And this can't continue. And it's really easy to focus on, hey, wow, we have a riverfront park. Look at it. Hey, wow, we've got a new baseball stadium. Look at it. And we're there and we're cutting ribbons, and we cut ribbons at bridges. But the nuts and bolts of what we're supposed to do is provide for the public safety and public welfare of the community.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, making sure the water runs hot and cold, that it's clean, that when you call the police or fire department, they arrive there, that you're not, you know, wrecking your car in potholes and things of that nature. That's the core of what we're supposed to be doing, but we've seemed to have shifted our focus into all these other things and have kind of left the rest in the lurch.
I have found it interesting that a lot of people who are, at least said so far, are not saying things publicly, but I run into a lot of people who will say, well, you mentioned the Riverfront Park, and they'll just say, it is nice, but wouldn't that money have been better spent to be have been shifted towards schools or some of these other things?
And I have no issue with having a park downtown. I've never had an issue with the park being downtown. I question the amount of money we spent on it. I question the general coming to layout because, you know, we wanted a riverfront park that kind of fit the historic character of the city, and that's kind of gone by the boards. And I mentioned even when before the vote, in the last vote on the riverfront park, I said, listen, can we first have a conversation, and I specifically mentioned schools, on what other capital projects are coming down the road that we need to be considering before we start committing to these kind of expenditures. Mm-hmm. And that went, you know, absolutely nowhere. But again, we need to refocus on what is truly important to us, and that is maintaining our staff, their working conditions, and making sure they have the proper equipment, you know, to the job they need to do. Again, certain areas, we had the downturn in you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, in that time frame, which we really haven't built back from. We haven't made any major expansions on police. Well, we built a new police station and stuff in that time frame, but as much as the city has grown in a very short period of time, from what the city was in 1990 to what it is today,
yeah,
and you look at our police force and our fire department, which is basically pretty much, other than moving locations and stuff, the same as it was then, you got to start scratching your heads and going, you know, maybe there needs to be a little bit more focus on those areas.
Well, and too, Matt, you think about you know, the fire station that always comes around and keeps getting pushed off, and with people being pressed for hours and just being worked, whether it's fire and rescue or police, you do worry that at some point, if this keeps getting pushed off, some of those people are just going to look at the counties and just say, I can do the same and not have all this.
We reached the point when Phil Rodenberg was here as city manager that we actually had to send a letter from City Hall to Stafford County saying, please stop hiring away our firemen because it is now becoming a critical public safety issue for the city. And we are in the process of doing another study of salaries and everything else like that. But, you know, that's great. So now you have the numbers. But then you got to execute.
Yeah.
And to execute costs money. And we haven't had that conversation yet. And I don't know when we're going to have that conversation. And that, I think, is what is really, I got a lot of people telling me you're getting too passionate and you're getting too out front and you need to work with the council and everything else like this. I'd love to work with the council if I can get some feedback.
Yeah.
And what's annoying me most is to sit in around in a horseshoe and not get any feedback. Other than, well, if people start paying attention to our meetings, they'll know what we're doing. Well, no, it's our job to go out and inform the public, not for them to come to see what we're doing. And we're not doing that. And we need to start being a lot more proactive in that regard and informing the public. Again, at this level of government, we should be going out and taking every opportunity as a city to engage in every aspect that we can. And again, if we get a big outcry from the community to, you know what, we're okay, you know, mm-hmm. explain to them, this is what we got, this is what it's going to cost, or this is what we have to put off. Do you want me to, you know, go forward with it? That's fine. But we've not had that conversation. We haven't had that conversation in a long time.
Well, when it does get to be budget time in the spring, it seems... It seems just natural that there's going to have to be some kind of a tax increase, and maybe a significant tax increase, not only this year but in coming years.
If and again, I've asked consistently for this information and have gotten a little bit of help from City Hall on starting to put some numbers together on this. And if we continue saying that we're going to do all these things, yeah, you're looking at some very significant tax increases. Because right now, and again, don't know, and I feel embarrassed to say this, I don't know what's happening on the economic development front, but there's nothing that I'm being told as of this point right now that's a huge economic driver that's coming, you know, in our direction. So where's the money going to come from? Now, we did, you know, in the current governor's budget, we're getting some monies to deal with our water issues, which is great, but we're still looking at significant costs. And the other aspect of this is this decision, and I voted for it. For Fredericksburg to maintain itself as an independent city, we need to be doing a lot more and spending a lot more effort on regional approaches and stop this. Oh, we'll just do it ourselves. We can't. We can't keep doing this. We have to start looking at regional approaches. And there are opportunities to do that. The water issue and the wastewater issue is one. Everybody's got Chesapeake Bay Act to deal with. Everybody's got the run of those issues to deal with. You know, why isn't this a George Washington Regional Commission issue as opposed to us having to deal with it on our own and staff are dealing on their own as Spotsylvania?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, no, we'll do it ourselves. And we just can't keep doing that.
You talk about the city and the counties either. It seems like it would benefit you all.
It does. It right now, if you look at any funding opportunities, the wastewater treatment plant issue was that Spotsylvania County wants to build a facility that will take care of their growth into the future. That makes perfect sense. The problem for us is the amount we would be required to pay into that is significant, and that's why we kind of pulled out and said, we'll do this on our own.
Yeah.
You know, my thoughts to staff was, well, has anybody sat down, and I talked to Gary before he left, Gary Skinner of Spotsylvania Board, said, hey, if we just came to say, listen, guys, we understand what you're trying to do, and you want to build this facility to take care of your future needs. But this is all we have to we can put into it. Is this, you know, can you want to take this or do you want to get nothing? And I don't know if that conversation ever happened. It was never briefed back to us. But we need to start looking at a lot of these things in a more regional approach. Workforce development, that will have to be a regional approach. It has to be. And yeah. I have brought it up at GWRC, and most of the jurisdictions shaking their heads going, yeah, maybe. And it's you know, Stafford has a pretty good one. They build a house every year, and they have things. And Spotsylvania has some things. But when you do it regionally, the money is there. The state and the feds are much more likely to fund regional approaches than individual approaches. And it makes more sense for us as a city to take some of these things on as a regional effort as opposed to trying to do it on our own. Because, again, the bottom line is we can't afford to keep doing things on our own.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning as we look back and look ahead. The other day, Matt, going William Street and where everything, especially now just seeing what's being built now where the Freelance Star building was, and that I guess will kind of, when that gets finished, that will kind of finish out that whole block, won't it, when that gets finished?
Yes, that will. That will be the hotels, the apartments, and commercial to be determined.
Okay.
And then what's going to be really fun with that is then you notice that we had 70-some-odd spaces and the Barton Street.
Yeah.
And now it's closed off. We lost those. And eventually they're going to build on that. And then what's going to happen is with all the, quote, public parking we have in the parking deck, and they build on Barton Street, and we say, well, where's the parking? They're going to point to what? That parking deck. Which, never mind. We've beaten that horse.
We have talked about that before. Where's the parking? As I went in and I did see, I mean, and it brought back a lot of our conversations and a lot of the discussions you've had with City Council about just the, but that whole area of town has changed, and it's changed just like that. And you, when this was being, and I'm really bad with plans and being able to look at it and envision it, but you did. And talked about this, and it has really changed that part of the town and that part of the city.
I'm not saying it's necessarily people who own land have an opportunity to develop the land. The only thing that we can do as a council or as a city is try to, if we have leverage to use it, or if not, talk to them about, hey, can you make sure this is, you know, with regards to design, scale, and massing and things of that nature. This is an area outside the historic district. With the project that's going on in the Freelance Star lot, what I had an issue with is when the Douglas Street was going to be shut down and everybody was going up and we had the big meeting there. And I'm looking at the plans, and the plans are basically what you see at Spotsylvania Courthouse is what's going to be built here. And it's kind of like, that's not necessarily Fredericksburg. Would you mind, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing?
Yeah.
And the response is, no, because that's going to deprive us of square footage, and we want to use square footage. And to be fair to the developer, you know, they sat us down very early on and says, we're not going to ask for anything. We're not going to ask for tax breaks or anything else like that. We're going to build it. We're going to build it by right and everything else like that. But we had an opportunity very early on because there was an old easement that was in there that needed to be cleared. And at the time, I just said, hey, why don't we hold on to this easement? You know, no problem selling it to them at some point. It's going to develop. But this kind of gives us, hey, we'd like to talk to you about how this is going to develop. And can you do these things before we give up this easement? Oh, no. We got to keep moving. Got to keep going forward, man. So we sold it, what, 23.8, I think. And boom, we've got a very big project going in there.
I looked at it and I did think that, and I am happy with some of the ice cream place there is good, and Mellow Mushroom is good, and there are a lot of great things
but
it does change.
Every time we get a restaurant, we start losing things because, you know, how many pizza places do we have downtown?
Mm-hmm.
How many ice cream places do we now have downtown?
Yeah.
You know, some of those would be better if they were at other locations in the city where there's more and better and adequate parking. If you really look at our restaurant revenues, you can see a lot of it is really out Route 3, Route 1 corridors coming off of 95.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, I think I love our downtown. I think it's great. I walk it every afternoon. But to somehow continually refer to it as this big, huge cash cow when, in fact, there is a lot of revenue coming out of it from restaurants and stuff like that. But in the grand scheme of things everywhere, it's not what it's sometimes portrayed as.
Yeah. Speaking of the historic district preservation, there's a preservation committee you've got that's
taking off.
Well,
we're supposed to be. When we first passed a preservation plan in 2010, the very first citywide preservation plan, there was supposed to be a committee established to oversee the implementation of the plan. And at a minimum, what this group would do is at the end of the year and say, city, you've done a great job or you've done a crappy job meeting your own stated goals. And in 2010, that was stripped out. The council stripped it out. When we just repassed the new one, the committee is in there again. Mm-hmm. And this time staff came out and said, well, no, let's go ahead and do this committee. And we have had some meetings with the preservation community, National Park Service, HFFI, and other preservation groups saying, you know, what should this look like? And the general census is this should not be like a lot of your normal committees, which is, you know, a planning commission member, an ARB member on, or anything else like this. This really should be preservation professionals. The National Park Service should be involved. HFFI is going to hire a new director with a preservation background. They should be involved. And some other organizations like that, the University of Mary Washington Preservation Department. And it does need a civilian component, but the civilian component should have preservation backgrounds, because the object here is what we look at it in initial conversations is quarterly meetings so they can review what the city has done on preservation for that quarter. If they've got any questions, they can ask. If they can be of assistance, because now we have this brain trust of preservation that can help staff and work with staff. And then so by the end of the year, they're not just getting dumped on with everything and then trying to respond to it. You know, do it quarterly, have an opportunity for some back and forth with staff on how things are working. That's how I would like to see it done. Basically, it really is something independent from the city.
Yeah.
You know, if you have too much staff on it and other organizations, then it just becomes, you know, as sometimes happens, we use it to defend ourselves from criticism. And I think preservation is important, that we need to have this as independent as it possibly can be, to be able to give us a real, yes, you guys are doing a great job, or no, you're not. And in preliminary conversations, and I don't want to in any way say the National Park Service is committed to this, because needless to say, getting into this kind of stuff is, I would think, a little bit more new territory for them. It would have to be, and this is why they really need to be the anchor for this, in my opinion. They would have to be, okay, if we're going to be involved in this, then you need to give us strict guidelines. Well, the guidelines is a preservation plan, and all we're asking you is the city or is the city mm-hmm. not living up to its preservation goals? And report accordingly, and or also assist us in, you know, on preservation decisions. And I hope that they will continue to be involved in this. But this really needs to be a preservation-focused, independent committee. Because I believe that maintaining the character of the city and the historic components of the city is critical for its long-term survival. It's why people come here. It's what everybody says. They like the quaint downtown and the mm-hmm. historic character. We lose that, then we've lost the game. And I think we sometimes lose that long-term vision in the sense of, and my biggest fear now is because of all the financial pressure, we're going to start seeing things come into the city saying, hey, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll guarantee you this revenue. And we're going, we need the money, so let's do it now.
Right.
And where I get some concern there is In 2002, when I first came on council and I went to my first VML conference, one of the planning people, we went to their meeting and they said, listen, understand when a business comes to you, they want to be there. And you have leverage to say, hey, if you want to come here, then you need to do this and this and help us out. And that's part of the conversation. Too often, as he said then, and I've seen happen, is, oh my God, we can't lose the deal. We got to do anything we can to make this deal happen. And we've done that. Some projects downtown that we just alluded to on William Street, we done that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily in the long-term best interest to continue that approach.
Now, you think of this committee now and how important it is. And like you say, I hadn't even thought about just the money pressures. But to have this committee right now, because you don't want to have any more, you don't want to lose anything more.
Well, the argument is oh, we're all preservationists now. That's now. I've seen and I've said and I've tried to explain to staff who takes very umbrage every time I talk about this. Oh, we're preservationists. Well, we can have a conversation about that. But I mean, I've seen this city on a roller coaster ride when it comes to preservation. You know, who's in and who's uh-huh. in what positions, the changes. You need a constant, and this committee could be that constant. Just kind of like you're going on vacation as kids, you know, you're tapping your parents on the back. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know,
yeah.
Are you meeting the goals? Are you meeting the goals? And you need that kind of, I'll say, angel on your shoulder saying, hey guys, yes, you're doing a great job, or no, you're not. And we need that to keep the focus on preservation, because I with the pressures we're facing and what's coming down the pike and what I've seen in the last few years, that's getting kind of, is seen more as a speed bump to progress as opposed to being an actual goal in the city.
And I mean, it's just, it's important. At the end, I want to talk to you about, and I want to talk to you just about just regionally, some people who are after today are no longer part of local government. You do lose that when as new people come in and may not understand
the dynamics change. And how do you shift and change
yeah.
with the dynamics? And that's part of any concern I have when you're looking at something that's a long-term goal. It's you've got to look at the fact that things change, and if you want to maintain that as a goal and focus on that as a goal, then you need to have something constant out there to ensure that focus and direction stays.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here. As you were talking, Matt, it occurred to me, Billy Withers from City Council leaving, Gary Snellings in Stafford, Gary Skinner in Spotsylvania, and Mark Dudenheffer in Stafford, all leaving. That's a lot of people with a lot of experience in local government.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how the dynamics potentially change on a lot of fronts regionally. But again, it's also, you know, a bit of an opportunity to see, you know, what mm-hmm. we could do with the new people. I mean, again, regionally, I think is critically important for the city of Fredericksburg, and we need to do a lot more at the George Washington Regional Commission level. We've now got Chip Boyle's on board. We hired a new executive director, and he has a lot of experience with PDCs, planning district commissions, which DWRC is, and I'm expecting a lot with him, and I'm hoping we can have some very serious conversations and make some progress on regional efforts. But transportation, you know, Mark was the big transportation guy for Stafford, and we'll see who, and I think Meg will kind of step up on that. But my understanding is they're going to bring some of the newbies in to the regional discussion, so that'll be interesting. I don't know what's up in Spotsylvania County. Does anybody really
say? I was going to say, does anyone know? Your guess is as good as mine.
But I think there's like everything else, there's opportunities, and it can be a little bit scary when you're dealing with. You know, I'm sitting on two boards now where I think the vast majority of the membership of the VRE Operations Board and PRTC, Potomac Regional Transportation Commission, are all like new to 2 to 3 years. That's it.
Yeah.
And then it's way up there. We won't say how long, but a long time. So it's interesting being around people who have not been in that discussion for a very long.
And that's why it came up when it kind of jogged my memory when we were talking just about preservation, that you get people that haven't been around here and know about things.
And that's where I acknowledge I get in a little bit of trouble with staff on occasions, and they're going, well, why are you being, you know, like this? We're not like that. I said, listen, I'm talking about, you know, for the last decade, for me, almost two decades, yeah, of watching, you know, little bits of Fredericksburg being destroyed and everybody going, oh, that'll never happen again. And then it happens again. And then, oh, it'll never happen again. And then it happens again. And again, it's fire stations. We were talking about a fire station over a decade ago. Oh, we got to build. I mean, when we were building the court, going into the courthouse discussion, what was the fire station? Oh my God, this is so critical. We've got to have this new fire station as soon as we built the courthouse. Okay, I guess we can put that off for a while. And, you know, just seeing pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And it's just, sometimes it's probably a curse that you've been around as long, that's not running again, where you look at these things and going, oh my God, we keep rolling through these same cycles over and over again. Everybody tells me, oh, no, now it's different. Not so much. And that, frankly, right now, especially, because I think you're right, and you mentioned this at the very beginning of the show, these next few years are critical for the city.
Yeah.
Absolutely critical, financially and otherwise. And if we don't make some significant changes and with regards on the regional front and doing a lot more there, then, you know, just going to meetings and going, okay, hey guys, you know, but really pushing some regional initiatives and things of that nature, if we don't really start looking at economic development as a council with a lot more strategic long-term thinking, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And just when you start talking about, because I remember when you were in a time or two ago, and we just talked about, and I remember saying to you, so are we talking about a 10 or a 15 cent tax increase?
In the next 5 years, we're looking more than that.
Yeah, that's what you said. You just said way more than that.
If we continue down the road and there's no change in the financial dynamics, we're looking at more than that. I think the last council meeting, and I mentioned it, and staff did not push back, though staff has not really said anything publicly on the tax rate. If you look at just the new school, the operating costs for the new school, and the capital new school, operating new school, and normal requests from the school board, you're looking at almost 12 to 14 cents.
That's just schools.
And that doesn't count third elementary schools, that doesn't count workforce development, that counts wastewater, doesn't count fire station, doesn't count personnel needs, doesn't count long-term capital needs. And when I'm talking about capital, in a lot of cases, I'm talking just dump trucks, fire trucks, police cars, the basics, which, you know, we have a tendency to, because it's not, you don't get to cut ribbons when you're buying a dump truck, so. Unfortunately.
It
might be better if we'd keep up with it. You know, everybody else is going to, you know, life cycle maintenance programs and everything else like this to do things like that. And we kind of, now, again, as staff will tell you, we have an economic development plan. Well, there's the plan, and then there's the execution and direction and focus. And I think there needs to be more discussion on that. And then, frankly, there needs to be more council involvement, because for me to say to you publicly that I don't have a really good understanding of where we're going with economic development is not a good thing for me to have to say.
No, I was going to say when you first said it, and you said it a couple of times, I thought I misunderstood.
And I've asked about it, and it's told, well, you know, there's certain things that you guys, well, I get to, I'm on council, I'm supposed to know these things. But I've asked the council to, I mean, I've sit on boards where I get briefings every 2 months. And I said, why can't you just give us a briefing on what we're doing every quarter, at least, and tell us what's going on? Nah, don't want to do that unless council tells me to do it. Went to council. Council said, nah, we don't need to know that.
So you don't know it.
We don't know.
Before we get out of here this morning, with the I don't adjust to change well, and I didn't adjust to change I've more used to having city council elections in May, and wish that had come, but that is now gone, and it's very unusual.
And unfortunately, we went very partisan, and
yeah, that
another reason for me not to run. So
yeah,
it got to a place where it shouldn't have gotten, and I got a little heat for trying to bring up the topic, which I was not allowed to bring up.
I didn't know that that was ever, that you weren't allowed. That was
No, they flat out said I couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, the mayor ruled on
and
that.
And all I was going to say is, guys, we said we didn't want to see this. I'm asking the council just to ask. We can't tell parties what to do.
Sure.
It's up to them. Hey, please don't do that. Or in the case of endorsing people, I don't want the endorsement. Please do not do anything. I've said this. And, of course, everybody wanted the endorsements, so we kept our mouths shut.
But I had never seen that of where the mayor said, no, you can't talk about it, and was backed up
by
the city attorney.
Well, I still forgot to bring it up. And I said, well, I can bring up anything I want. Well, we're not going to let you talk about it. Well, then you're going to do it in public and tell me you're not going to let me talk about it.
I'd never seen that, ever.
No, it's never happened.
In any form of government, if
and
you're
I was
on the
responding
board,
to a statement that the council had made officially during the course of this conversation where we did not want to see partisanship, and I just wanted to go back and talk about that, and we didn't want to do it. I don't want to leave it on a bad note. I think there's a lot of possible. We have a lot of challenges, but we've got a great city.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll continue to keep it as great as we possibly can, maintain its character, which is critically important to me. And I'm hoping that 2022 will be a hell of a lot better than 2021. And we'll just continue to do what I can to work in that direction.
It is a great city, and hopefully everybody can work together. And there are some challenging times, not only in the city, but you look at national, and you look at inflation.
State, everything.
Interesting times ahead. Matt Kelly, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me again. Happy New Year.
Happy
again.
New Year to you. This
in
is
the
our,
next few hours.
Our annual.
I'll be in bed at 9 o'clock.
Visit. Yeah, me too. Well, it was a football game I'm a little bit interested in tonight, so I will watch.
We're having an old people New Year's. We're going to get together in the afternoon and have some beers and wine, and then okay, we go home, and go to bed now.
Okay, that's good. City Councilman Matt Kelly. See you soon. Thanks, Matt.
All right, thank you.
That is it. Happy New Year. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.